The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
Good day again, everyone. Welcome to Bible Shots. Like I said, we've reached the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So over the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at, ethical treatise about what living the good life, or to use Jesus' language, the blessed life, looks like. Now, this might seem like a bit of a strange tangent, but if you had to pick a phrase to summarise what Jesus had been talking about and what he was kind of really passionate about, I actually reckon the phrase would be God's own country. And there might be a bunch of different places that come to mind when you think of that phrase. Apparently, the first time the phrase was used in the English language was back in the 1800s by a guy named Edward Dubois to describe the Wicklow Mountains on the southeast coast of Ireland. But since then, it's also been used to describe Surrey, Yorkshire, Cornwall, Scotland, Wales, the United States, Kerala, a state in the south of India, New Zealand, and of course, Australia. Interestingly, Wikipedia seemed to leave the Sutherland Shire off that list, so make of that what you will. But we're in Australia, we know it's nice, we can understand why people might call it God's own country. As nice as it is, though, you can understand why people would want to come here, but it's not always easy to get into the country. It's not always easy to migrate and become part of the country, and so we have migration agents, people who understand the laws around migration, who can actually help potential immigrants, navigate and figure out how do you actually get into the country. So a good migration agent will actually help someone move into the country. Anyway, Jesus is on about God's own country, or to use his language, the kingdom of God. And we've seen that in a few places already. So the first time we met Jesus and we heard him speak in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, we heard from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And when Matthew, again, the author of this particular biography of Jesus, summarized what Jesus was talking about, he said, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. And way, way back when we started looking at this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told them, he said to the audience who was in front of him, he said, "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." You can see Jesus is, in some ways, a little bit like a migration agent. He wants to help people get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we sort of said before, Australia is a pretty nice place, but Jesus has a pretty different idea about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Not surprising at one level, given it was 1900 years before Federation, but he wasn't talking about first century Israel either. This idea of the kingdom of heaven, it's important to get what Jesus was actually on about. And so a helpful way to summarise it might be something like God's people living with God as their king and experiencing the blessing that that brings. Over the last, 7 or so weeks, as we've been looking at what kind of Jesus holds up as the blessed or the good life, I hope you've been able to see that actually his way does make sense. There's something about it that's quite compelling. It makes sense. It's maybe even beautiful. Jesus' description, you can see how it's a blessed life. But actually, there's more to it than that. Jesus pushes beyond what's just happening between birth and death. There's more to it. And if you were here last week, we actually finished on a little bit of a cliffhanger, and it was the very first couple of verses in the passage that's in your program, where Jesus said to his audience, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So the blessed life that Jesus is describing, it's beautiful and it's good, but we can't neglect the fact that it's set against this alternative of destruction, of judgment, of being excluded from God's kingdom. Jesus assumes that God is just and he will judge people who aren't living his way, who aren't living with him as king. Now, if you don't identify as a follower of Jesus, we are really glad to have you along today. Actually, it's a great time to come along and check out, what is Jesus on about? Because in this talk that he's giving, he's giving it to a mixed audience. He's giving it to his disciples, but there's also a lot of people there who have come to check out Jesus and what he's saying and what he's on about. So you're in good company. But also, if you've not really opened the Bible before or not used to thinking about who Jesus is and what he said, the idea that God is going to judge everyone, that might be a pretty confronting idea. It might not sit well with you, and there's lots of good questions to ask around that, but we're not going to focus on that now. You might want to ask some of those questions in question time a little bit later, but if you wanted to chat about them more, maybe over a coffee or a beer, please feel free to write that down on one of the feedback forms, and myself or Al or someone from City Bible Forum will get back in contact with you. But Jesus, he's not focusing on the, will God judge or won't he? He assumes that that's what will happen, and he wants to answer the question, how can you be sure that you get through the narrow gate? How can you be sure you get into the kingdom of heaven? And so he has two final warnings for his audience as he finishes off this sermon, this talk that he's giving. The first warning is, be careful who you listen to. And the second is, be careful that you do listen. Be careful who you listen to. And be careful that you do listen. First, be careful who you listen to. That's in the verses 15 to 20 there, the watch out for false prophets line. As much as a fan of pop culture as I am, I think one of the things that it does, it kind of skews our understanding of what a prophet is. I don't know what you picture in your head when you think of a prophet, whether you think of someone like, Nostradamus or, maybe for the Harry Potter fans, Professor Trelawney. But actually, I think it kind of misses what the Bible's idea of a prophet is like. I think the image we want to get in our head is something a bit more like an ambassador. This is Bruce Edwards. He's the Australian ambassador to the Ukraine. It's easy to tell he's the Australian ambassador. I mean, after all, his name is Bruce. You can also go to the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade website, and you can see his credentials on the page there. You can see he's the ambassador for Australia. But if Bruce were to go a bit rogue, if he stopped caring about Australian interests over in the Ukraine and wanted to use his position for something else, well, he's kind of shifted. He's become kind of a false ambassador. And if someone in the Ukraine wanted to know what Australia's interests were, they couldn't get an honest answer out of him. Now, nothing wrong with Bruce. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. Just as an example, it wouldn't work. So how do you know who God's ambassador is? How can you know who to listen to? I mean, if God kind of created us and he wants us to live a blessed life and he's going to judge people who don't live his way, how can you know who to listen to? And so Jesus, he uses this image of a tree. He gets his audience to look at the people around him who are teaching them about God and say, well, what do their lives look like? Do their lives show that they actually care about God and his ways? Or does it show that they love something else? So particularly on view back in Jesus' day were the religious leaders, the people who looked impressive. They wore the right clothes, they could do the right ceremonies, they even used the same religious writings that Jesus used, and they looked like the sort of people that God would be impressed with. But Jesus says, make sure you look closely, because it's easy for someone to look impressive, but for them to actually be a wolf in sheep's clothing. You just don't notice until it's too late. And, we have the same issue today. We have plenty of people who have opinions about who God is and what he's on about. People with positions and titles, maybe bishop, maybe father, maybe with theology degrees. But Jesus says that that's not what to look for. Actually, you need to look at their lifestyle. Does their life show that they actually love God and his ways? Jesus says to the crowd, be careful who you listen to. But he also says, be careful that you actually do listen. Be careful that you listen to the one who matters. Have a look there at verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, if you are someone who identifies as a follower of Jesus, I think that's some of the scariest stuff that Jesus says ever in the Bible. Jesus paints a picture of Judgment Day, and he says he, Jesus, will be the judge. Now, a comment I often used to get on assessments when I was in high school and then at uni and then a little bit at college as well was, you did not answer the question. I don't know if you were in the same boat at all, but I always feel ashamed when I got it because I thought, oh, I just made the same mistake again. And if I'd only actually paid attention to what was asked of me, I could have actually done it. And Jesus warns these people who are listening to him, don't fall for the same mistake. Don't fall for the mistake of thinking you're following him, but not. These people he describes, they call him Lord. They've spoken in his name. They've done incredible things, even miraculous things. There's no reason to think that these people aren't genuine in that they think they're trying to please Jesus. But Jesus warns them, make sure you've actually listened to what matters. I suspect these people Jesus is describing are surprised and shocked. They genuinely think they're trying to please Jesus, but in the end, his assessment is they're evildoers. Jesus warns his followers, don't be like them. So instead, he says that they are to do his words, to put them into practice. Verse 24 there, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I don't know if you got woken up by the storm that blitzed over Sydney during the night, but it seems a little bit more visceral to me this morning after getting woken up at 4:30 a.m. by a clap of thunder. But Jesus says there's only two ways you can live here. And it's like two houses. One is built on the rock. It's solid. It's the person who listens to Jesus' words and they survive the storm. They survive the judgment. But the other alternative is the house on sand. And when judgment comes, it's going to be a tragedy. Those are the two options. Over the past 7 weeks, we've been hearing Jesus talk again and again about how God's people should live, looking at different kind of spheres of life. He's talked about anger. He's talked about honesty, about forgiveness, about giving, about possessions, about worry, and about thinking of other people. We've been seeing that actually there's a lot of day-to-day, mundane, relational stuff here. The way that you relate to your colleagues, your spouses, your housemates, even the strangers around you, those are the things that Jesus cares about and says matters. And they're the things that show whether or not you're really listening to him. The day-to-day stuff, it points to where eternity is going. And behind all that day-to-day stuff, it's the attitude. That's what we've been seeing over these last few weeks, the attitude of knowing that actually we can't attain it perfectly. We can't achieve the standard Jesus is putting up for us, but we can ask for mercy and ask for forgiveness when we don't achieve it. And that's what the salvation is based on. That's what our relationship with God is based on. Not on achievement, but on his gift, his mercy. Jesus isn't putting forward an armchair religion. It is a gift, but it flows out into the way that we live. So how can we make sure that we get into the kingdom of heaven? How can we make sure we get into the narrow gate? Well, they need to listen to Jesus. As we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, we've heard what Jesus has to say about a lot of different moral issues. And I hope you've seen that actually the way that Jesus says to live life is quite compelling. It makes sense. It's quite beautiful. But based on what he's saying here at the end of this sermon, he can't be just a moral teacher. In fact, if he's wrong, he's a profoundly immoral teacher. But if he's right, we need to listen to him, because sooner or later, it's going to be too late. Sooner or later, we'll have had to have decided one way or the other. Follow him or ignore him. So at the end of this Sermon on the Mount, at the end of this chunk of the Bible, I guess there's two different boats you could be in, really. A few different boats you could be in. One, this might be your first time coming along to Bible Shots, and you're thinking, what have I walked into? When's this going to finish, because I want to get out of here? I want to say, actually, thanks for sticking around. This is a fairly intense part of the Bible that we're looking at today. Maybe a question for you to keep chewing over, instead of running out of here, is to think, well, what is it about this guy, Jesus, who makes these really extreme claims that makes so many people around the world still say, yeah, I'm going to follow him. I think that's a good deal. Maybe you've been around for a bit longer. Maybe as we've looked at the Sermon on the Mount, you've, I guess, identified a bit more with the crowd. You're not someone who's following Jesus, but you're thinking about what he has to say. And actually, you're thinking, you know, I do want to find out a bit more. I do want to actually stop and think more intentionally about what does following Jesus look like. Or maybe you'd like to start following Jesus. And inside our program, we've got our feedback forms. I will give you a few more instructions about how you might use those in just a minute. But you might like to let us know that you'd be interested in finding out more. But finally, if you're here and you're someone who does identify as a follower of Jesus, I think the question has to be, are you? Are you actually following him? Are you listening to his words and putting them into practice as you go about your day? Jesus says, be careful who you listen to, and be careful that you do listen, because actually, eternity is at stake. Al.
Thanks, Lachlan. I always appreciate the tranquility of the city.
It's beautiful.
So, now you might need to use that microphone, mate, so that people can hear you.
Yep.
And nice and late. Now, you can SMS a question in.
You
if
can.
If you want. That's Lachlan's phone. He'll never trust me with his phone, but that'll come through to him. Or questions or comments, old school. Any thoughts, comments for Lachlan? Questions? I'll get the ball rolling.
Mm.
Lachlan, in verse 22, mm-hmm. It really does seem like these people have done all these impressive things, think they'll be okay with Jesus.
Yeah.
And he says, I never knew you.
Mm.
So, if some of us, many of us, want to follow Jesus, can we be sure? Or is it a bit of a lottery at the end?
Yeah, it really does seem like it throws a bit of a question mark. It throws up a bit of a question mark of, can I know that I'm being saved? And I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to do. I don't think he's trying to undermine our confidence and think, gosh, I don't even know if there's any hope. I think he's trying to get us to think, am I actually listening to what he says? So, you know, even the best, most faithful Christian gets it wrong. They make mistakes. But I think as we've been seeing over these last few weeks, a key thing is the attitude that the disciples, the followers of Jesus have, is that they recognize and admit when they get it wrong and turn back to Jesus, ask for forgiveness and start trying to live his way again. They repent is the name, the word the Bible uses. And so Jesus isn't saying, well, you can't ever be sure. I think he's wanting to make his audience realize you need to make sure that you're actually listening to him. Yeah.
You might want to repeat
the question. Yep. So the question was, I guess, particularly in this age of podcasts and, you know, reading blogs and articles and teaching things online, it's very easy for the teacher to be separated from the message. And so how can I know? I mean, even with City Bible Forum, you know, myself, it's a lot of people here at Bible Shots won't see much of my life outside of, you know, this hour. And so, yeah, I think that that's a challenge. I think even back then, even with the people who Jesus is talking about, these are people who they're seeing a lot more closely, and they look pretty impressive. They've got the right credentials. Part of it is what actually happens over time as you look at their lives. You know, are they living it out? And so some of that will be easier to see than others. But another thing is actually reflecting on how does it match up with what it says in the Bible. So when you're listening to sermons as well, actually make sure you're engaging with the text. Don't just assume that what I say or that, you know, what the person on the podcast says is correct. Go back to the text and look there, and ask questions as well. Of other Christian leaders who you do know, who you do respect. Engage with them too. I think those would be a few pointers of what you could do to think through stuff that's being raised there. Any others?
Okay. Oh, it looks like everyone's just sitting and...
I think I got one that came through as well as on the SMS. It was, can I comment on verse 21, doing the will of the Father? So verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So because he doesn't kind of expand that out there. I think as we get to 24 in the first instance, that's where it expands out. What does it mean to do the will of my Father? Is it actually it's listening to Jesus and obeying him? Following Jesus, actually obeying what he said, I think is what that feeds into within the context of the passage.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.